dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We have been coming to you for many, many months. It's actually going into years now. We've never met you personally, but we feel a direct, distinct connection with those of you that listen right there in Madison and North Florida as this broadcast is coming to you. And we feel the same kind of connection with those of you who have downloaded this broadcast from our website. We appreciate you coming. We pray that these messages are a blessing to you as we gather around the Word of God. And you that listen live by computer as WMAF streams 24/7, their programming and formats, they stream by computer anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, where anyone is connected to the World Wide Web. So this ministry is as far-reaching as this radio station is far-reaching. It's a small station in a small town in North Florida, but it doesn't stop with just North Florida. It continues out as far as our Lord will send that signal, praise God, and the World Wide Web has allowed it to go anywhere in America, anywhere in the world. So you that have tuned in other states and other nations, we welcome you today as we get ready to gather around the Word of God. And if you're not a Christian today, do not disqualify yourself from gathering around the Word of God with us. You know, the Scripture said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God has the power and potential to produce faith in you if you receive it into your heart and not just your mind. So we just pray that you'll do that with us today as our very, very special guest. We're speaking on the subject. This is the third in the teachings on this subject, living for heaven's glory. Living for heaven's glory. Declaring eternal values in a world preoccupied with time. Declaring eternal values in a world preoccupied with time. Our text is Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Just before we read it, I would like to invite you to come to our website if you would like to. There are many Bible helps, there are many sermons, there are many recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. There's edifying music and testimony, and we would invite you to come. If you'd like to know more about us and our ministry, we have been a pastor of this church, the Holy Church of God, right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. January will mark our 40th year of pastoral ministry, and God has just been rich in His grace and mercy to allow us to do what we're doing right now for Him after all of these years, and I might say through all of these tears and in spite of our fears, hallelujah, He has brought us through, strengthened our faith, amen. He has lifted us up and established our life as a testimony and witness to the goodness and greatness of our God and our King. And we would just love to share anything we can to benefit and to bless you today. So type in the Holy Church of God, or type in THCOG to abbreviate that. THCOG. It will take you to the Holy Church of God, Tampa, Florida, and where Robert Venable is pastor myself. All right, if you have your Bible, read with me Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Now, this was written in the time, as the New Testament was, of intense persecution against the church of Jesus Christ, against Christianity in general, and Christ in particular, His followers. I just received this past week an email from Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, writing Ministers and Ministries, and it says, "Dear friend, more than 300 days ago, American pastor Saeed Abedini was sentenced to 8 years in Iran's notoriously brutal Evin prison. I recently spoke to his wife, and she confirmed reports that he has been beaten and tortured. Pastor Saeed is being held in prison for one reason, because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We are asked to pray, and I want to stop right now and say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pray you will join me in agreement in this prayer, that you will both comfort and that you will help and heal and deliver and set free, but above all, give your peace, your grace, your strength that he needs and his wife right now. For they are being persecuted just like the early Christians were for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for his sustaining health to not break down under this, emotional health either, physical strength either. Father, that he would come forth from this test with a testimony to your faithfulness and the sufficiency of your grace and the power of intercessory prayer when we pray together for God's deliverance to come. Hallelujah. Well, we wanted to bring that to your attention today because we want you to know that the persecutions of the early church are still occurring all over the world. The test, the temptations, the opposition to the gospel. You know, the Bible said in the first generation of Christians that the spirit of Antichrist doth already work. That anti-Christian, anti-gospel, everything that can be brought to bear through all the devil can bring forth is being brought forth to suppress the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knows the power and potential of the gospel to save, deliver, and set free. Amen. And he fights what he fears today. And he fears you if you're a Christian today. Not because you're a world-renowned minister with such an influence, but because a soul is so very precious. And we, as God's children, can live a life and share a testimony that can actually cause someone to come to know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. That's why we are on the radio here today. The people that are hearing me on this radio station, all the way up in the panhandle, beginning of the panhandle in North Florida, probably we will never see you in our church. There is no place for you to give on our website. Everything is absolutely free. We want to make it clear, and we understand those that have huge churches and huge staffs that have to be paid for all of these things to be done have to give minimal charges. We're not accusing anyone. We are saying we are on the air for one reason, and that is that you may know Christ, and if you don't know him, you may come to know him, and if you do know him, that you may get to know him better. Praise God. God is counting on every child of God, every born-again believer who knows Christ as your personal Savior, to share that gospel with someone else. And Satan is counting on us just shutting up, locking ourselves away from the world about us, not praying and not proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God is moving by His Spirit to stir up His own people. I believe we're in the middle of the great last day harvest of souls before the soon coming of Jesus Christ. That's why these messages are so critical, because the Spirit of the Lord is speaking so clearly, so plainly. See, we're living in a world that is preoccupied with time, and we should be living for eternal values. And that is the difference that marks us, one of the many differences that distinguish us as children of a different kingdom. Praise God. Amen. You know, the Bible said when you get saved, you've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The values have to change when we realize that we are citizens of heaven while living right here upon the earth. And Paul was under the kind of persecution that I just read you, that we just prayed about, that people are experiencing around the world today. Listen, he said, "For I reckon," Romans 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be." See, there's a day coming. He was looking past what he was facing in time to that he knew was coming and would be his for all eternity. Amen. So sometimes in our life, we may not be in a prison being tortured, but we may be persecuted right here in America. You may have family members that have ostracized you, that have no desire to have any fellowship or relationship with you simply because of your Christian faith and testimony. Listen, you may have an employer that literally has a grudge against you because of your stand for Jesus and your testimony for Jesus Christ. You may have friends that don't want to be your friends anymore simply because they're uncomfortable because of your Christian faith and testimony. There's all kinds of ways. There's the satanic oppression of the mind and the emotions that we feel pressure living in a godless world. You know, the Bible said that Lot's heart and mind was vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked that he was exposed to in the city of Sodom and cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, where he did commerce and business. I'm telling you today, we can't live in a culture like this and not feel the pressure. And we have to look past the time that we are caught in to the eternity that we're going to spend with God after all this little blip, little glitch in time is over, called a lifetime. You know what the Bible calls our lifetime? 70 is given to man. That's what it leveled out. Amen. From having eternal life to a limited life, and at first long life like Methuselah, but it leveled out. When it all leveled out, there is a median that is talked about in the New Testament, and it says 70 is given to man. That's 70 years, and by reason of strength, if you're very, very strong in your health, you might make it to 80. I know there's exceptions. I understand that, but they are very few. The median level is just like the scripture declared it, 70, and by reason of strength, 80. Listen, friend, some people die earlier, some die later, but I'm telling you, when you reach around 70, you know that the time is very short. Man's quest for immortality fails over and over and over and over again. You can get anti-aging skin potions to try to stay looking younger, but inside, the organs are wearing down and they will wear out. It's appointed unto man once to die, but that doesn't end it. See, that is all about time, but it says, but after this, the judgment, and that determines where we spend eternity. And we as Christians who know this, we should not be living just for time. We should be living for eternity. Our values should reflect that we understand that all of this that is in time is quickly passing, but that is coming, that we inherit, called eternal life, living with God forever in a new heaven and a new earth and a new body that'll never be sick and never perish. These are not pipe dreams. This is not wishful thinking. This is the promise of the Word of God to us and the God of the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. In our text, Peter wrote to Christians who were being persecuted. He wrote to tell them that they have a wonderful inheritance, far more glorious than anything that it may cost them in this life for following and serving Jesus Christ. They didn't have the promise of tomorrow in their physical life, but they had the promise of eternity. You know, Jesus talked to a church persecuted for the faith in the book of Revelation, in the seven churches of Asia, one of which, amen, he told them about the persecution that was going to come. He said, Satan is going to persecute you for 10 days. It's coming. And he would use, of course, the culture. He would use the powers that be, the laws that existed to persecute and hurt and harm Christians. Some of you, he said, he will put in prison. And some of you he will put to death. And Christ's admonition unto them, under these kind of intense pressures and persecutions, was be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He said you have to look past the time that you're in to the eternity that you're going to spend. And it brought courage into the heart of Christians who could have been discouraged and fall into deep despair, but instead they stood the test. Praise God. But you can't just live in time. You know, we even have a Christian culture today that is rising up that seems to think our inheritance has to do with how big our home is, how big our bank account is, whether we drive a Rolls Royce or a Bentley as opposed to a Ford Fusion or a Chevrolet Malibu. Listen, that has nothing to do with the reality of eternity juxtaposed over against the reality of a very limited life here upon the earth. One pastor put it very plainly when he said, I've conducted many, 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 many funerals, but I have never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul full of stuff down to the cemetery. We brought nothing into this world, the Scripture declares, and we can take nothing out of it, but we can lay hold on eternal life. Praise God. Let me read this scripture to you out of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 through 5. Listen to it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. Praise God. The first word that he uses here to describe the inheritance that is ours, the eternal inheritance that is ours, is the word incorruptible. It could also be translated indestructible. A very similar word is used by the prophet Isaiah, who warned God's people that their land would be utterly emptied or completely laid waste. That word destroyed in Isaiah 24 and verse 3. Daniel used this same word as Peter when he prophesied of the kingdom that would be established by the Messiah. And he said, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That's where this incorruptible word came from as the root. Something that can never be destroyed. Incorruptible or indestructible. Praise God in Daniel 2 and verse 44. In a similar context, amen. Daniel again used this term in chapter 7, verse 14. And it said, to him, the Messiah, literally, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That is what it's talking about. Incorruptible here. The inheritance that is incorruptible is literally indestructible. It will outlast time. It will outlast every protagonist. And it will stand up under all the persecutions. Praise God. This is the kingdom that we have been translated into. We have been spiritually repositioned from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It is an incorruptible kingdom. The second word that Peter used to describe the inheritance of the saints is the word undefiled. Like the previous word, this word is also used frequently in reference to the kingdom of Israel. We repeatedly read that Israel defiled the land by adopting the customs and gods of the nations about them, acting abominably in the sight of God. Let me read one of the many texts to illustrate this. God said through Ezekiel, "Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity." 36, chapter 36, verse 17 in the book of Ezekiel. And it was because of this defilement that the kingdom of Israel was ultimately destroyed. But Peter said that this kingdom of God, will never be defiled. It will never grow corrupt, so that God's wrath burns against it. No, so that he would destroy it. It will never happen. No, this kingdom will be a kingdom pure and holy, a kingdom without sin. Therefore, God will never destroy it. Praise God. Amen. And the third word that is used here is the word unfading, describing their inheritance. This word is used later in chapter 1, verse 24, where he speaks about the fading of the flower. In the Old Testament, God described the northern kingdom of Israel as a flower that was fading. We read of this in Isaiah 28, verse 1 through 4, where the glorious beauty of Samaria is compared to a fading flower. Samaria, you know, was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. When Isaiah spoke these words, the northern kingdom of Israel was on the verge of dying out, never to be rebuilt. In a short time, God would exercise his wrath upon her for her sins. The Assyrians would come and take the people captive and fill the northern kingdom with foreigners. The 10 northern tribes of Israel would lose their homeland, and it would never be restored unto them. We often speak of the 10 northern tribes as the lost tribes, therefore, of Israel. You see what hope Peter is giving to Christians in Asia? They are strangers in this world. They are aliens residing temporarily in it. They don't belong to this world. They have no citizenship in it. But Peter says, "But look what you do have. You are born again, and now you are an heir to the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. Friend of mine, earthly kingdoms flourish for a time. Like a blossom, they reach their pinnacle of power and splendor, but with power and prosperity comes many times corruption and decay. Their wickedness makes them weak, for God frustrates all their endeavors and visits them with his wrath. So these mighty kingdoms all fade away. The Assyrians grew to be a world power, but their kingdom waned, gave way to the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon, in turn, gave way to the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Medo-Persians gave way to the kingdom of Greece, and Greece to Rome. Earthly kingdoms come and go, and Rome eventually fell. One after another, these kingdoms that had built such great cultures and amassed such great riches and military might, they seemed invincible, but they faded away. But in the end, none of them remained standing. But Peter says to these Christians, this is not so with the kingdom to which you belong. It will come in perfect power and splendor. It will be a glorious kingdom. You know, he's coming for a glorious church. Hallelujah. Amen. And we can't present ourselves to him that way, but he said he will present us to himself, a glorious church. Hallelujah. It will be a kingdom that is free from all the powers of evil that bring decay. It will be a kingdom established in righteousness. It will never be defiled. It will never come under the wrath of God. So it will never fade in splendor, in glory, or in majesty. It'll be like a flower that remains in bloom forever. Praise God. Now, Peter said this glorious inheritance is reserved for all the Christians, especially those, he said, that he was addressing in Asia. Now, this word is a very comforting word. It means to guard, to keep watch over, to watch over something with an eye to protecting and preserving. A young lad who intends to jump in the creek might give his watch to a friend and say, would you hold on to this for me? He doesn't want to put it on the grass because he might forget it, or someone might step on it, or someone might steal it. So he entrusts it to his friend for safekeeping. I've done that on more than one occasion. Amen. The inheritance that God is talking about, we have entrusted to him. And he said, you can trust me with where you go when you die. You can trust me with eternal things. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, friend of mine, I want you to know that God has entrusted us with the testimony of this kingdom. And we have entrusted him, praise God, with all our life and all that we are and all that we have. And we live our life in light of the eternal glory and the inheritance that is ours. See, when a Christian dies, it doesn't end everything. It is the beginning of our eternal inheritance. Praise God. Amen. A kingdom that shall never pass away. Praise the Lord. Where death cannot reign nor conquer any further. Friend of mine, I want you to know, when you die, if you die without Jesus, if I'm speaking to someone who doesn't know Christ, it is not the end for you either, as far as it's the end of your life, but it's not the end of your existence. The Bible is very clear that every soul that leaves the body is going to spend eternity somewhere. You are an eternal being, whether it's eternal death through banishment and punishment, separation from God, or whether it is eternal life, that bliss and wonder and joy of living in his presence in the holy city. Oh, by the way, new heaven, new earth, holy city's coming down, going to rest upon this planet. So we're not just going to sit on a cloud somewhere in the heavens in some kind of spiritual state without our human bodies. No. Amen. Our bodies are going to come forth from the dust of this earth, be reunited with our spirits that are awaiting that body to be raised up. We're going to come with him when he comes. According to the book of Revelation, the holy city is going to come down out of heaven, whatever planet beyond the scope of our telescopes, beyond the absolute comprehension of our minds, there is a city that is going to come down according to the book of Revelation. John saw the holy city coming down out of heaven. Praise God. A new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, where time gives way to eternity. Well, our time is almost gone here today. But friend of mine, I want you to know, everybody's going to live somewhere forever. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I encourage you right now to lay hold on eternal life, to this inheritance, eternal, unfading, that is awaiting us in heaven forever. And if you're a Christian today, I pray that you will look beyond time and live your life for heaven's glory. We love you. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?